Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We are live today. Sea Isle, Team 62, the Beer Bowl, and all everything today. And all of this is for the Eagles Autism Foundation, courtesy of Jason Kelsey. It is his Beer Bowl. And joining us, one of his guests today, one of our guests on the show, I think last time we had Dan Orlovsky on the show was right
He's
before.
In New Orleans.
Yeah, in New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
I got beef with Dan Orlovsky.
Uh-oh. Dan, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
Great to be back. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good.
I ain't good, Dan, because I've been, you know, I follow you on Twitter. You ain't following me back
because
I've been beefing with you. It's like some of your takes I have a problem with.
All right.
And I be sending you angry tweets, but you ignore all of them. I don't appreciate
being
ignored.
Is that the beef?
Yes.
Oh, man, I thought it was real beef.
That's a weak beef.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
I thought there was something like...
Oh, you thought I was angry for real?
Yeah, like, no. And I was looking forward to that. All right, I'll follow you back on Twitter, honestly. Sometimes...
You want this smoke, huh? You're looking forward to this.
I like arguing. I like conflict. I love conflict. I don't have any with my wife in marriage, so I love to argue.
Come to the right place.
Yeah. I love to argue.
Welcome to WIP. That's all we do here.
All right, I'm going to follow you back. You have my word.
Since you want to argue, I got an argument for you
yes.
that we have all the time.
Uh-oh.
Unsolicited.
Okay.
What is your take on Jalen Hurts? Your honest take.
I think I've said the facts and the opinions just don't match up. The fact is, since he's become the starter – obviously, two Super Bowls, win one, probably the best player in both of those games. I think he's top five or top seven in mainly all the statistical categories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. That's the facts.
Mm-hmm.
But the opinion is, or the opinion of a lot, I would probably in this camp is, that there are times when the passing game and the pass element is lacking.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very interesting kind of balance is, if we were going to take Jalen with all 32 starting quarterbacks and just put him on a field and just had him throw, which is the basic premise of the position, he wouldn't be in your top 16. I don't think he would be in a lot of people's top 16. But all he's done is win. All he's done is play huge and big moments. And so, like, my take on him is, I got asked this yesterday, I think it's silly to not have him as a top 10 player at the position because of the accomplishments.
Yeah, so... I guess because when we get caught at, when we talk about Jalen, a lot of times we say he just wins, and I think that for you know don't want to Ryan Clark anybody, but for a lot of people that don't understand that, that is one of the most important things and one of the most important attributes to have at a quarterback. So that's where I think it's tough for people to kind of categorize Jalen, because
sure.
you don't see the arm strength, you don't see the certain type of statuesque play that you get from other quarterbacks.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of, like, the wow plays. You know, the at times bordering on the careless versus reckless versus aggressive stuff that we see from Patrick's and Josh and Lamar and Herbert's and guys like that. He doesn't lose. I think that's the thing that for me is, like, he often does the stuff to not lose games, not give games away. You know about that in the league.
And
It's a great quality, but it's a quality that people don't fall in love with.
I got another question for you, because this one caused a lot of trepidation on our show a couple days ago, too. Is winning a quarterback stat?
I love the question.
I don't think so, no. I think that we can't call it the greatest team sport ever played and then pin the end result on one player. I think winning the way I would phrase it is, wins, the quarterback impacts wins or losses more than any professional position in professional sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to attribute wins and losses greater to quarterbacks more often than not. But I don't think it's a stat, no, because I've seen quarterbacks just play unbelievable football and lose.
And then the opposite, right, where they play poorly, and then they can still win the game.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
It happens a lot.
But really good quarterbacks over the course of time win. Like, that is a reality.
Yep.
But,
yeah.
Singular moments, I think that's probably too small of a thought.
So, we've debated Jalen from the minute he took over, and it's been a lot of success, right? It's been way more good than bad, obviously, with Jalen Hurts here in Philadelphia. Now the question is, moving forward, how does he play, right?
Sure.
And in this new offense, how do you think he fits in a Sean Mannion kind of scheme? And the one question I have, and I'm just curious your perspective playing the position. To me, when I watch Jalen, he one of the things, it's kind of his tendency, but it's also been a strength, is he holds the ball, right?
Sure.
He doesn't get the ball quickly. This offense, when you watch it around the league, it's more of get the ball out quickly. Is that something you think he can change, or will that tendency be hard to break?
All right, I'll answer the second one first. The get the ball out quickly element. One, Jalen does not have a twitchy release. He'll never get the ball out quickly. He's not that type of player. Catch and throw is not a strength of his. It's not a sudden, like almost like a Mayweather type of jab. I don't think this offense is one that the RPO element, kicking the ball to the perimeter, he'll be fine with. That's not like a you got to get it out now type of thing. I think this offense predicates it on holding it a little bit more because the play action game. To answer the first question, people don't like the answer. I'm not betting against them. The Jalen Hurts that we have seen play does not fit seamlessly into this offense. He doesn't. The fundamental parts of this offense. One, put the quarterback under center. Jalen doesn't do that a ton. I think he's capable of it, but he doesn't do it a ton. Two, turn your back to the defense. Three, play action game. Four, throw the ball up the middle of the field. Those just aren't things that we've seen him major in. I doubted him when he took over. I'm not going to doubt him again. But it is going to be a very different experience for him. And I've said this. What he's like in November in this offense will be very, very different than what he's like in September.
That's interesting that you say it like that, because as a defender, when you look at the quarterback and he does certain things like that, what is the hardest thing to do when you go on the center and you turn your back to the defense? Is it just the reading of the yep. of the defense? Is how it changes yeah. when your back is turned?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, one, I'll start with this. The timing of the pass game is totally different. Mm-hmm. A lot of the play action games are like 7 or 8 step drops. Now, people think 8 step drop, how can that happen? Because you're often turning to your left, and so there's an extra step involved. So mm-hmm. just getting the timing of that drop is huge. The location of where you are in the pocket, that's not often shotgun, catch the ball, and I'm just behind the center in between the two guards. He'll be behind the guard. He'll be behind the tackle at times. So, like, the location of where he's making those throws is going to be very different.
You know what? When you say that, so what I'm understanding is it depends, like, when you're in the pocket, because you see a lot of guys, they might drop, and they sure. might drop to the left, or they might drop to the right. So what you're basically saying is it depends on where he's at in the pocket, that it depends on where the ball is going?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, so –
that's a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just a very different experience. Now, you do that offensively to change the launch point, open up passing lanes.
Yeah.
So that's the fundamental difference. And then, like, when it comes to the hardest part, there's an easy part to it as well for a quarterback. Sometimes, you know, when I grew up with Gary Kubiak and Kyle Shanahan and LaFleur and McVay, there's a beauty of, like, just getting the ball, turning your back to the defense. I don't need to know the defense at times because I'm just turning my back. I'm making a ball fake, and I'm looking for an area. I'm just trying to find an area. I'm not trying to find a person. And so once I find that area, then I'm trying to see a color, you know. If
the right color.
Yes, correct. So there's a beauty in that as well. But then there's also times where you turn your back to the defense and you think it's one thing, and the defense changes. Or yeah. you lose sight of a guy. And defenders are smart. They're prepared as well. So they're baiting you. They're lying to you. Defenders, you'll see defenders turn with their back to the quarterback like, oh, I'm running deep. And then all of a sudden, nope, here I'm looking to cross or I stop and there's that pick, you know. And so, you know, with a quarterback that doesn't turn his back to the defense, you always see. You always can see where everyone is. They can't really lie to you that much. Mm-hmm. Turning your back to the defense, you'll get lied to a lot. And it'll take time to adjust to.
I got another question. When we look at this, you know, A.J. Brown in New England, he's with, you know, McDaniel and an offense that Drake May is somewhat familiar with.
Sure.
And they're just integrating him.
Yep.
And you have Jalen that's learning this whole new offense. So with that being said, all of that information, the first 4 weeks of the season, who has
A.J.?
And why is that?
Well, AJ, one, New England's got matchup nightmares right now. Especially if they keep Kayshon Boutte. Now, there's rumors he'll get traded, but we'll see. But there's only going to be so many people that they have to cover New England. And they've got 5 or 6 deep now at the pass catching group. So AJ's going to have some one-on-one matchups. So it's just going to be reality. Young quarterback that's in a second-year system, I think it's easier for a receiver to go out and say, stand there 2 yards outside the numbers and run a 10-yard stop route. And if it's man-to-man, just whoop your guy. I just think Jalen, and you're also, if you're the Eagles and you're Jalen, you're going to be banking on 2 rookies playing really important snaps. And again, that's why I think November will be very different than September, because with Mekhi and Eli, I do think that they're going to be really good players, but I think it's going to be something.
It's going to grow impact.
Yeah, I don't expect September for them to come on and light it up, but I do think they're going to be really good players as the season goes on.
Dan Orlovsky with us here. We're live at the Team 62 Beer Bowl in Seattle. Dan, how good do you think Devontae Smith is? It's one of those guys we've watched for years. He's obviously really good, but he's had AJ with him, right, for all these years. So it's like, is he a 2? Is he a 1A? And can he be a true number 1? How good do you think Devontae is?
I think he's Justin Jefferson-like. And I know that those are heavy and big words, and I think Justin is sensational. But when you watch those players run routes, they run very similar. Stride length is exceptional. The way that they use the different pace in their route to open themselves up, the length that they play with over the field, the ability to go make those 50-50 contested, just aggressive balls down the field. They can run any route tree at any capability. And I think that you're going to see Devontae play to a similar style that Justin does. Justin gets moved all over the place, is constantly in motion. They're doing everything they can to get him free releases. Why are you doing that? Because the route running is a strength. And so I think he's a 1. I don't think that there's any debate if he's a 1. Will he get into that top 5, top 7 receiver conversation? That'll be attached to how good Sean is, how good Jalen plays. But I think he's very Justin Jefferson-like with the style of play.
Well, that's a big one. I mean, I'll take that comp, and I'm going to use that all summer. As
but
we talk
if
about
you think about Justin, yeah. You're long, sure. Rangy, lanky, you know, the ability to go pluck the ball out of the air. I think Devontae has those traits.
Yep. All right, so tell us about the beer bowl here, what we got going on. You were at Ocean Drive yesterday.
Yeah,
how was that?
What a scene, yeah. Man. I had no idea. Jason and the Eagles Foundation, Eagles Autism Foundation, were just like, hey, will you come down? I was like, sure. I had no idea what we're getting ourselves into. It was insane in the best ways. You know, it was one of the another moment where you sit there and be like, I get why these people are the way that they are. You know, it's like they love the Eagles,
like that,
man.
Don't sound.
No, when it's good,
yeah,
I would imagine it's the best.
Of course.
And when it's bad, you're like, holy fudge, dude. People are paying more money for a selfie, and I'm not an Eagle, a selfie than they were drinks. I had a woman offer me $500 for my hat. So it was intense, so much fun, flew by. I think they raised a ton of cash. And then today, I literally have no idea what we're doing.
Well, are you ready? I mean, you can look down at the water there.
I mean, from what I know, I've been asked, I'm going to throw footballs at people to try to knock them off that
floor. That, you can do that.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean,
it sounds good until you miss 14 throws and everyone's like, you suck. So,
I mean, we're used to it. So if you be here long enough, you'll get used to it.
Yeah. So, yeah. But it's awesome, man. What a cool event.
And it goes to a great cause, the Eagles Autism Foundation. You can go donate on our social media pages. Dan, we appreciate giving us a few minutes. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and we'll talk soon.
My pleasure.
And the beef is over now.
Yeah,
right?
Man.
Beef is over.
We really didn't have no beef, Dan.
Yeah, but when a guy that you respect so much and physically intimidated goes, I got beef with you, it's like, all right, here we go.
No, I didn't have beef.
Here we go.
You
got to
follow.
But you stayed. I mean, you could have walked away.
No. I like that.
You could have been like, up yours, Hugh Douglas.
Can I share a quick Jalen story with you guys real quick?
Of course.
Okay, so a couple weekends ago at the Eagles Autism Foundation golf event at Marion, my son, they honored my son. And so Jalen came. We have never met Jalen. I have never met Jalen. And my son and Jalen are talking. Jalen was sensational with my son. And my son says, Jalen, I made a comic book about you, like a comic book about you. And Jalen, and I'm 4 or 5 feet from Jalen, kind of just behind my son. And Jalen goes, huh, really? And my son goes, yeah. And Jalen goes, well, if I'm good enough to make it in your comic book, and he looks me dead in the eyes and goes, that means your dad's got to be nicer to me on TV from now on.
He was dead ass.
Dead in my eyes. And I looked at him, I go, well played.
That's a good one. That is a great story. And it doesn't surprise me. He was, you know,
I mean, he hears everything.
Generous to your son.
Oh, he was unbelievable. He was unbelievable, man. So he spent 10 minutes with my son.
That's
talking.
Awesome.
So, but it was a great, great. And I was like, tip of the hat. Well done.
You're going to have that in the back of your head during first day? Back there?
Uh-oh. Yeah, it puts me in a unique situation. Yeah.
I'm sure it does. Thank you, Dan. Dan Orlovsky with us here on the WIP Midday Show. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard there. All right, Hugh, that was an interesting conversation. And the beef is squelched now.
No, I was no beef, man. I just,
you just
know
wanted
what it
to
is?
Get followed.
You know, no, you know what it is? I listen to Dan, and he does a great job on ESPN. Now, sometimes he says stuff, and I send him angry tweets. I send him
like
some
everybody
tweets.
Else.
Yeah.
I send him some angry
That's
tweets.
That's why he doesn't respond. He gets out of
the
hundreds.
Yeah, because he's meeting her life. And I was like, yo, you need to respond to this one. So, no, but I like his insight, man, because – here's the beautiful thing about it. We don't always agree, but you respect where he's coming from because he played the position.
Of course, yeah.
And then when he started talking about how you turn your back to the defense, it just – like when you hear that, it just adds another layer of questions. And then you realize how difficult it is to play that position.
Yep.
That's why, you know, and I was also kind of going here. That's why when you have one that can win football games in the fashion that he's winning, you take it. And you try to build around all the other stuff, but the bottom line is Buddy's winning, you know?
You didn't get the response you wanted from a quarterback.
I know.
What do you mean?
It's a W for me.
He said – They're not a QB.
You know what?
He's
a QB. You know what?
I'm just
going to
write
Dad,
that
you know
down as
did.
A win for Gillio.
You know what Dad did?
W.
He long talked his way into saying that W's are quarterback stats.
He did not.
He
did do that.
No, he did not.
He didn't want to say it flat out.
Nope.
Because he was talking about all the other intangibles that go
in the game.
I'm pretty
sure the first words out of his mouth when he asked him were no.
He said, let me say it like this. And he basically got back to the basic premise that it is a
quarterback. Are you really trying to spin this?
That's what he said.
Actually, the way he explained it, he was playing TV.
No,
he wasn't playing radio.
Not even on TV.
He was playing TV.
Well, I guess YouTube.
Nope.
But the way he explained it, I agree with that. Like, of all the positions in sports, it's the one that is the most heavily towards wins and losses.
Yeah, but he said that's, I can't go there. He basically, you know, he doubled that. He basically.
You are amazing.
You are amazing. You're twisting yourself.
Do you agree with me? No. And then he twists it together.
Real quick, we have a Flyers trade.
Okay.
Garnet Hathaway to the Florida Panthers. So, I'm actually a little surprised they were even able to offload him. I'm assuming it's because we retained 50% of his salary, but we got some late picks for him, and we sent a pick back.
So, retaining the salary is almost like eating
50%.
Money?
It's not that much.
Yeah, so they're paying half his salary to get him.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably a better fit in Florida. I mean, they're assembling like the big – they're like Broad Street Bullies 2.0 with the Tkachuk brothers and Hathaway, who's just like – it's Goon Central over there. But, I mean, solid move. Just now it kind of – gives you room to let some of the young guys
okay.
come up,
so. All right, well, that's an interesting trade. All right, so late round picks, you said?
Yeah.
And draft tomorrow night?
Specifically, we got a 2026 fifth, 2027 fourth, and we sent our 2026 sixth.
Draft tomorrow night, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I know there's a puck. I think there's a puck it up party with Broads. One other thing, and we got a lot to talk about here, 215-592-9494. We're at the Beer Bowl, Team 62 in Sea Isle. I thought it was interesting just hearing his Dan's perspective on the nuances of what Jalen has to do in this new system.
Yes.
And he mentioned something I thought kind of subtle, but I wonder how much they're going to incorporate. So he was talking about the different parts of this offense, right? And he said, because the Packers did some of the RPO stuff where Jordan Love would roll out.
Mm-hmm.
He said Jalen will do that just fine. Like, I wonder if the Eagles will try to incorporate more early that he's done. You know what I mean? Like, more he's incorporated. He's
that
done.
Makes sense. Yeah,
he has
trying to get off to a fast start,
and then maybe go heavier towards the newer stuff later. Because he did basically say the stuff that Jalen's experienced with, he'll do that fine. The other stuff that could take time.
I think in order to make this transition as easy as possible, Joe, you kind of got to jump into the deep end. I mean, you want to win games.
I know.
You want to win games.
You got to want to win games, right?
But you can't get. I feel like you're in a situation where, and hear me out a little bit. You've been so comfortable doing what makes you comfortable,
right?
That you have to do the stuff that makes you uncomfortable, so that it becomes comfortable.
No, I in practice and installing
but,
it.
But
I'm
you got
to.
But
like third and
set, game.
Third and six,
but
game
gotta,
on the line against Washington. Mm-mm.
You got to be able to do it in the game, Joe. You have to be able to do it.
Kind of want
to
do what he's good at.
But see, here's the thing, Joe. You can't ask for $60 million more dollars.
Well, I'm not asking.
I'm just saying.
I can't ask for 60
yeah,
more
just
million.
In this hypothetical situation.
It's radio. What are we doing?
You can't ask for $60 million more dollars and just do what makes you comfortable. You have to be able to expand your portfolio.
I get that.
You know what I mean? So you have to. Like, this is what we talk about when we talk about Jalen. He's a winner. He adapts well. Okay, well, you have to adapt. So in those moments when you're – instead of doing the bread and butter thing, because guess who else knows you're going to want to do the bread and butter?
Well, the Commanders.
Robert Saleh.
Yeah, and then the Titans.
Robert Saleh
and
wants
the
to, knows you
Bears
wants to go
and
with
the Rams.
Yeah.
I know, I get it.
So you have to do – you have to be unpredictable in that moment.
I guess – yeah, you're right, and I understand. I guess for me, just hearing that there is some of the offense that does kind of fit Jalen, like how much of that will we see versus the stuff that is more brand new and more he's going
to
need
time. It
has
to be the brand new stuff, Joe, because, like I honestly believe that they've scouted you to the point – where I think back to what Robert Saleh said. He said they ran that play 3 years ago and they knew it. You know what I mean? The four verts.
That was the biggest indictment on the old offense.
So you can't Like, you can't be the same. Mm-hmm. Even if it makes you comfortable, you have to be comfortable in the new system in order to throw that monkey wrench in it for somebody else.
That was a cool story you told at the end about Jalen with his son, which I'm not surprised at all. Jalen will be great to his son, but like, hey, I hear you on TV.
Well, I mean, just another instance of Jalen paying attention to what people are saying.
Well, that story's been out there this offseason.
That's what kind of jumped out.
Well, and obviously Dan is on ESPN, right? Like, he's on First Take and stuff. So that stuff,
it's
probably in their locker room. It's on TV, so he sees all that stuff. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop. We're at Team 62, the Beer Bowl, which is about to get going here with everyone in the obstacle course in the water. Hugh, have you reconsidered your position on participating?
Get in the water.
Okay, just asking.
Checking every half hour.
Yes, just to see if your fear has gone away. All right, on the other side, we'll get to a couple things. We did tease something we wanted to bring up. Ruben Amaro said about the Phillies and their biggest need right now and how he framed it. Plus, a former Eagle, Hugh Douglas's guy, took a shot. I mean, a direct shot at all of us and the Eagles yesterday. We can't ignore this.
You know, Hugh needs to officially denounce it.
I agree. You need to just slam this guy. So that's coming up next. Your phone calls. Are you open to trading Tyrese Maxey after the draft pick of Filon to basically play the same position? And the Phillies. Are you starting to believe this team this year is different? I am. It is the Midday Show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I feel like I'm at a rave. Is this like rave? I feel like I'm at a young person's
You're
party.
For the beat drop.
Yeah, does this look like a rave to you, though?
No, I'm saying, okay. Bonnie's coming in with the music.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm at the wrong party.
We're at a party, that's for sure. Welcome back.
It feels like I'm too old to be at this party.
No, Hugh, you're not too old.
Too old for a lot of things.
Yeah, welcome back. We are live today. The Team 62 Beer Poll with all the proceeds benefit the Eagles Autism Foundation. Jason Kelsey's on his way, and joining us right now is Kylie Kelsey to give us a little update on yesterday and all of this for the past couple days. Kylie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank
I said
you for
great with such confidence.
You did.
Are you?
I might have lied.
You sound a little mellow right now.
Thank you for saying that. I am. It was a long day yesterday, a long, fun day, and we were able to make some serious strides in our fundraising efforts, which we hope to close up today with our goal of over $1 million, because every single year we've beat the previous year's total, so we're looking to do that again.
I think that's going to happen because as I pulled up in the parking lot, so last year I parked on the other side, right?
Yes.
But I couldn't park over there today.
How come?
Because I saw like a bunch of cheese balls.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I know there's something's going to happen with the cheese balls. I'm not going to ask. I'm going to leave that to the imagination of the people.
Yes.
But there's a lot of cheese balls in the parking lot.
A million, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheese balls in the parking lot.
Yes.
There's a lot.
Yes, one of our generous sponsors, we have Olukai, has a beautiful boat wrapped out here on the bay.
That's a fancy boat.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes.
Because, you know, my husband's known for his flip-flops, and he always goes for Olukai flip-flops, so why not have them out here as a partner?
Smart.
We have so many generous sponsorships that help us reach that million-dollar goal, so obviously the generosity of the players and celebrities that come down to bartend our event yesterday help us reach that goal. The people who attend and are literally throwing bills across the bar also are a huge part of helping us hit that goal, but then even more so our sponsors really help us get to the finish line.
You know what, when you said something about throwing bills across the room,
yes,
it reminds me of a tweet that my teammate Ike Reese had last year when your husband, great man that he is, he pulled off his shorts, right?
Yes, he did.
And he had on a Speedo.
Yes, he did.
Will he try to top that stunt that he had last year, this year?
So he did not do anything yesterday that was too crazy. Mm. He let the beer aquarium that Garage Beer created stand for itself. He thought that needed its own moment, so he thought, I'll keep my butt in my shorts.
I missed the beer aquarium.
I know. It was impressive.
So how much beer is in the beer aquarium? Like, if you had a guess.
I'm nearly certain that it was, I think someone said 14 kegs worth of beer.
So much beer.
I think.
Do you have pictures of this?
We can certainly get you some pictures.
I am fascinated by this.
Do you want a beer aquarium?
Well, I want to see it. I want to see what it looks like first.
You know, then I'll workshop it. You want to scuba dive in it a little bit?
I want to workshop it first.
Okay.
Then we see what we take from there.
check the integrity before you dive in. I gotcha.
So everyone can donate our social media at WIP. Links to it is up there to donate to the Eagles Autism Foundation. So, Kylie, we were at the first event, one of the first ones, yep. At Ocean Drive 3 years ago. And then the last couple years we've been here at this day.
Yes.
How did this leg come about? Because the first one makes some sense, right? Like guest bartending, come on out, everyone has a great time. But this, where we're at today, the Beer Bowl, is a very unique kind of event that I feel is very Jason-ish.
Very much so. Yeah. This so much leans into Jason and things that he loves, right? Beer, games. Easy. Simple. I always say he is good at everything he tries, and specifically in games. Like, he just wins. It's annoying, but that's one of the reasons why I married him, because he has to pick me to be on his team. One of the things that he's very good at is drinking games, and so I think that he just liked the idea of hosting a Beer Olympics. And first year, Trav was here. They did a full New Heights production of it, and I think New Heights, the whole squad, loved it so much that they just continued on. So this is our third year of Beer Bowl here. The Yacht Club of Sea Isle is the best host. Jim here and everybody, all the members are so kind to let us come in and take over. And really, I mean, it's a dumpster fire. And that's putting it nicely.
But it's fun, though.
This is a very classy establishment.
Yes, it is.
We bring it way down.
Yeah, it was.
Thank you. It
but
was
for a
good
cause, so it's okay.
No, a great cause, yeah. And it helps us in our endeavors to. I think it's within like 48 hours to reach our goal, so we couldn't do it without him.
Hugh, have you considered getting in the water this year and participating in the beer
I told
bowl?
You, I have.
It's right
have,
there. It's
I have
right
thalassophobia.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I have the fear.
Do you know
of,
what that is?
The unknown.
I do not.
The fear.
Okay.
What's the fear of murky water?
Okay. Do you get in lakes?
No.
Okay. I'm actually okay with this, though.
I get in tubs. I get in pools.
Sure, because you can see the bottom.
I can see the bottom.
That's so
like,
fair.
Because you know what, Kylie? I'm not going to lie. And I say this, and they always laugh, but I'm dead ass here.
Because
sharks in there somewhere.
Oh. There are sand sharks, but I will tell you, they are bottom feeders, and they're more afraid of you than you are of them.
I hear you, and I respect
you. To be
opinion.
Fair, I've told my husband that multiple times.
Uh-huh.
He does not. He still will not touch the bottom. Of this
no, see, I don't.
Bay. I mean, here's the deal. I've been stuck in these sort of little finger situations back here in the bay in a jet ski,
uh-huh.
And then you have to get off to push it out of the spot that it's stuck on. And it is the
you put your feet on the muddy water on the muddy surface.
I'll tell you what, it's like quicksand. You end up like knee deep in muck, and unless I'm clamming, I don't want to do that.
Watching Hugh get uncomfortable part during this conversation is the best part of this.
That is not what I was thinking.
No?
Nothing. We're gonna move on.
Perfect. Let's do that.
Hugh was afraid to go into Lake Tahoe because he thought there might be
orcas.
Orcas.
Yeah. And we tried to tell him there's no orcas.
We asked him how an orca would get to the lake.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten
drone.
There yet. Yeah.
We still have
drones. Dropped it
in. Like when I was workshopping, I didn't think about that.
Sure. Twister.
And what else?
Yeah.
Wolf eels.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Okay.
Bottom line, I don't like the water. Yeah.
Did you watch the show River Monsters by chance?
No, I have seen it.
Okay, and that's what got us here.
The big,
okay.
Is that why you're afraid?
Well, no, it's not just that. But you know,
that only validated his fears.
But you know, they got certain, like, Kylie, you might want to put your earplugs on. But they have certain things that, like, they swim.
Yes. Upstream.
I know exactly
where you were headed. it's something in urine.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Urea. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh,
see?
Okay.
But what are the chances that happens?
Guys, they're barbed.
Barbed?
They go in, but they don't come out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
See, now you're
welcome.
Yeah.
All
thank
right.
you.
We were right here.
You got it.
Now I'm kind of glad we're up here on the balcony.
No, I'm saying, man, because
to be fair, they're not in the bay.
Okay.
Not yet.
But it just adds to the fear.
But you never know.
Knowing my luck, I'll be the first dude to get in the bay, and it happens to me.
It'd be cool, though. They might name that little subsect of the species after you.
Yeah. It would be cool.
Come on.
Be famous
come
forever.
On.
People get
It'd
in
be
like,
a story.
Don't want to have the Hugh Douglas happen to me.
Definitely don't want to be that. definitely don't want to.
If it's going to happen, let it happen at Beer Bowl so we get to tell the story forever. Okay?
Well, that would create more buzz for all of us.
You get it.
Yes, it would. Kylie, thank you for hopping on with us
having
us here today. And good luck, and we'll help push all of it for the people who can't make to go and donate.
Please, thank you guys so much for being here. We really love having you.
Love being here. Kylie
thank
Kelsey
you.
Here on the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. So you're more afraid of the water now, aren't you?
No, I mean, she understood. She picked up what I was putting down because she gets it.
She kind of put a little fear into me.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not going
to
lie.
But
the barb thing,
go in again.
The barb thing gave me the heebie-jeebies.
No, I know. That's
I just like
terrible.
How she's just so cool about putting her just like getting in the murky water and just pushing it, like all of that.
Well,
everyone here but you is.
You're on the jet ski and you have to get out.
I'm not getting on the jet ski.
Well, all right, but
if I get on the jet ski, how do you get out? I got on the aqua socks.
Oh, the water shoes.
Yeah.
Hold on. Why do you have aqua socks if you're not going to go in the water?
I'm just saying. If I had to go.
Just in case.
Yeah. If I had to go.
I always think kids wear water shoes.
What would be?
And grown ups. This one will.
What would be a situation here where you end up in the water?
You know what's funny? Kyle, I was thinking about this today when I was riding down here.
Yep.
And I was like, what situation is going to make me jump in the water? And the only one I can think of is one of my children fell off the boat. And I just had to jump in.
Oh, so it's a no choice.
Yeah, I ain't got no choice. Yeah. And I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to jump in. But outside of that,
saving one of your children.
If Harper was locked in, he's like, Dad, come. I got to go. It's like with no hesitation, I'm going to go get him.
What about me? What if I fell in?
I would throw you a raft. He's not jumping in for you.
And be like, Kyle, paddle.
You don't have a raft.
I would tell you, paddle, kick your legs.
I'm in the water, and I'm like, you. The only way to save me is if you jump in.
No, Kyle, I would wait until you at least bobbed your head like under the water like three times before I jumped.
You give me three bobs?
I gave you three bobs.
It would be funny to do a power rankings at the station of who Hugh would jump in the water for and then who no way would he jump in.
No, I'll be jumping for the kids now, but like I'll be like, hey, swim, like kick your feet. I'll tell you what to do.
To teach them how to swim as they're drowning.
I was like, wait, let me go get you a rope.
I was hoping our second year here at the Team 62 Beer Bowl, we would try to help curb Hugh's fear. We've only made it worse. This has not gotten any better. All right.
I'm not doing that.
215-592-9494. The Phillies, what a win last night. Your reaction to the game. And is this team starting to feel different from you? For you, it is for me. I mean, watch the last two nights. Those are games I don't think they win the last couple of years. And I know they've had a good team. And I know we've had this conversation in different ways in different years. This feels the closest to 2022 it's felt for me since then in terms of they feel different. I know the players are similar. This group, this team, this year feels different. The managerial change is a big part of it. Does it feel that way for you? Got a couple haters to my left and my right, not feeling it.
Where do you come down? Haters to the left of me.
Jokers to the left. To the right of me. let's go to Max in Swedesboro. What's up, Max?
Hey, Joe. Hey, you.
What's up, Max?
Hey, Max, what's up?
I think you're nuts.
Me?
They beat the 27 Nets the last two nights.
Here's say that again?
Thing that bothers me about did they beat the 1927 Yankees the last two nights?
They did not.
They beat
they
Richard
did not.
Lovelace.
They beat the 2026 Nets.
27 Yanks.
Yeah, that reference is
back. He went back old school with that one.
About 100 years out.
Yeah.
But I know, they didn't beat Garrick and Ruth. I get it. I get the reference.
Yeah. The juggernaut national team. You're right. That's good. But here's the thing that bothers me about this radio station. I'm going to – I respect you because you keep it real.
Sure,
we
of
have
course.
A champion. Yeah. We're trying to pick them apart.
What champion?
You know what it's about. He's talking about Jalen, dog.
What champion do we have over the last year?
I'm talking about Jalen.
What does he have to do with
the
anything?
Best quarterback?
The conversation
in the
that people want to have.
Yep.
No, I'm telling you, the best quarterback in franchise history. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't disagree. He's the best quarterback in front. What does that have to do with anything?
It has plenty to do with it.
No. Hold on, Max. Because we say these things and we have no context behind it. Max, Jalen Hurts has been
give
a good. I'm going
to
give you context first. You brought up the 27 Yankees, right? That was your first reference. We didn't beat the 27 Yankees last night. You're right. But Max, let me also give you context on Eagles quarterbacks. There have been a lot of good ones. Donovan was good, right? Randall was good. I like Nick Foles, not in the same level, but Nick was a good quarterback, right? The reality is, Max, when you say stop ever saying anything about Jalen Hurts again, he's the greatest quarterback in Eagles history. Max, there are no Hall of Fame quarterbacks in this history. This isn't like, oh, he's the greatest quarterback in Packers history. Like, we don't have those guys, Max. So when you say that, yes, I agree with you. Jalen, best quarterback in Eagles history. But that doesn't mean he's above reproach. It's not like there's five Hall of Fame quarterbacks he has bested.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Quick question. Let's take the Phillies team out. If they're Phillies team that you love. Mm-hmm. All right. If they had 4 years with one World Series championship, a World Series appearance, and four straight playoff appearances, would you be as critical of them as you are of Jalen? Yes or no?
Well, you're conflating them versus Jalen. I'm not very critical of the Eagles. I think they're the best organization in pro football. I think Howie Roseman's a Hall of Famer. I think the Eagles are the most trustworthy team in the city. You're talking about an individual. Well, Max, you're talking about an individual.
He's part of the team.
Right, but Max.
He's part of the team. Well,
but Max. Well, Max, if the Phillies win the World Series, am I going to come on here and say Trey Turner's the best shortstop of all time? No, I still think the guy is half a bum half the time. I mean, come on.
You'll put Bryce Harper on a pedestal. You'll put Bryce Harper on a pedestal who's never won nothing.
I don't even think Harper's elite anymore. What are you talking about, Bill? Okay. Max, or whatever. Max, good phone call.
Yeah, well.
The Jalen insecurity in this city is, it's like palpable. We're having a conversation on if this Phillies team feels different than the last few years. Was Jalen mentioned one time today? Not once.
You thought about him, though.
No, I did not, actually.
You're a hater.
Well, actually, I lied. He was mentioned when Chris mentioned the phone call from yesterday
the
caller that said he's the best player in pro football history. Yep.
But you're a hater, Joe.
Yeah, I'm a hater.
And you were thinking about him. He lives rent-free.
No, he doesn't.
for Max, he does.
The insecurity in this city for this quarterback is bananas. Nobody's talking about Jalen right now. We're talking about the Phillies, who had an improbable victory. And it's like, well, and what about Jalen Hurts?
Guess what?
Well, what about him, Gatman?
Guess what? We about to talk about him now.
Well, and that's your fault. I blame you.
Well, that's what gets us in trouble. I mean.
I blame Hugh Douglas for this.
I am down here enjoying my day. I'm mad at Jason Kelce because
you're mad at
because he holding out on where he get the nice. I need that outfit. I need one of them outfits, man. Probably not the shorts so short. Mm-hmm. But I need one of them outfits.
We can't do the short shorts for Douglas. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on all this, specifically the Phillies. And if you want to yell at me about Jalen Hurts, go for it. But the Phillies, does this team feel different to you? And when we come back, along with your phone calls to the Phillies, we want to get to something said yesterday on the afternoon show by one of their guests about the Sixers, the draft pick, the future, this backcourt. It made me wonder about something we debated during debate week. I want to re-bring that conversation up. It is the Midday Show live from the Team 62 Beer Bowl on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I see Bonnie got jokes too.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey, good job, Bonnie. I appreciate the jokey joke.
The fear just overtakes you, Douglas.
Hey, dog, I grew up in the Jaws there, so y'all can back up off me, Bonnie.
All that says is you're kind of old.
Hey.
I grew up in the Jaws era, the 70s.
Jaws had everybody terrified. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with living in this space.
Yep. I grew up in the Jaws era. Oh, yeah. The 70s.
Yeah.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're live today from the Team 62 Beer Bowl with all the money and the proceeds going to the Eagles Autism Foundation. If you want to donate, I know a lot of people maybe came down yesterday to Ocean Drive, maybe couldn't make it. If you want to donate, our social media pages at WIP, Twitter, Instagram, have the link to donate to Team 62 and, of course, the Eagles Autism Foundation. 215-592-9490. We're going to get back to everyone's phone calls here on the Phils, because I really do believe and I feel that this is different. It feels different to me what is going on with this baseball team compared to what has gone on the last few years. You know, Hater Hugh over here not signing off on any of this. We'll get back to your phone calls, but right now we're going to bring on a guest, a name you know well, and a player that was a good one here in Philadelphia on the defensive line, Bo Allen, sitting down with us here. Bo, how are you, man?
Hello, friends. Good morning.
Hey, Bo, I got a question, man.
Hit me.
I like your outfit.
Yeah.
I like the choice. I need two things from you.
Okay, hit me.
I need to know where you got it from because I want one. And do they have longer shorts? Because them shorts.
I could actually go shorter. This is a 4.5-inch inseam. Kelsey's got a 2-inch inseam.
Wow.
No, Bo, yeah. Bo. We're big guys. I mean, you're doing your thing, but we got to get them shorts just a little bit longer.
Well, I got this from Chubby's, one of our lovely sponsors. I think the short length is good. You know, it could be shorter.
I mean, you're advertising. You and Kelsey are definitely advertising.
Yeah, we have more, so we got a whole bag.
I think Hugh wants some.
I got to get a fit, dog. I like the fit. I do like the fit.
I got you. I'll introduce you to Travis from Chubby's. He's got a whole bag of clothes.
Yeah, I got to
get one of them. Got some Speedos in there, too.
Oh, no, that's not my jam.
Okay, I just want to float that out there.
No, that's not my jam, but I respect it. But I definitely need to get that fit.
All right, it's comfortable. It's breathable.
It looks breathable. I like
that. Yeah, I like that. Look good, feel good, play good.
Yes, definitely.
So, Bo, you ready for the beer?
No. No, yeah, I'm ready. I think I'm a little concerned, though. I saw a giant vat of cheese balls over there.
I heard about that.
I did hear about that. Like a million cheese balls. What y'all doing with the cheese balls?
Well, I don't want to spoil the surprise, but I've heard that there's some items hidden within the tank of cheese balls that contestants need to find. It's going to get cheesy. It's going to be fun. And, that's the one that scares me the most. This obstacle course is also a little daunting. Last year, that thing was a pain in the cheeks, but it's going to be fun. It's a great day. It's beautiful out here. A lot of good people, so it'll be fun.
So, Bo, I heard about, what was it, the beer aquarium?
Yeah, the beer aquarium.
I didn't get a chance to see it. So, could you paint a visual picture for me of the beer aquarium?
The beer aquarium is kind of my arch nemesis. There was 250 gallon tank of beer that was. You know, just kind of the brainchild of Jason and Travis. I don't really know how it came to be, but it was conquered yesterday. 250 gallons of garage beer was consumed at the OD yesterday, and as a result of that,
my man showed me pictures.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. Right, one of those ideas that I think it was a lot.
Oh wow!
But it got drained, and we. You know, as a result of that, Kelsey had to donate $100,000 to the Eagles Autism, which is, you know, the end result was good. But
yeah, it's always the end result because it's about giving it back, man. And it seems like, to be honest, it seems like it's bigger now than it was the one we were here last year.
Yeah,
you know, with everybody in the bay, that's the bay, right?
Yeah,
because you know, I don't get in the water, Bo, so I don't have my water jargon down. But there's a lot of people here today.
I'm pretty nautical. I can help you out with the water jargon if you need. But we got a little boat flotilla coming in. Those are all the contestants.
That's the flow. You heard that, Kyle? Flotilla.
Yeah, I'm just kind of buzzwording you guys with some fun nautical language here. But yeah, we got a lot of good contestants. Every year, it's kind of grown and changed a little bit. So it's fun to watch it develop.
The one thing I've noticed this year. You guys don't have a greasy pole. What happened to the greasy pole?
Greasy pole was a hazard. I slid down that thing on my belly like a seal, like a penguin, you know, talking about last year. And that was not the technique that people were supposed to use, but it was effective, and I got to the end. But, yeah, that grease pole was a liability.
Slide down a greasy pole is like, you know.
Yeah.
If you can avoid that, you want to avoid that.
Yeah, it was fun, but, man, that thing was dangerous.
So we've been trying to encourage Hugh to join you guys maybe next year. Give him the pitch.
You're a WIP team, you know.
Listen, if Hugh does it, I'll do it.
I'm not getting in the water, Bo. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like the water. I have thalassophobia, the fear of murky water. I have the fear of murky water.
If you had a Speedo on, I think you'd probably be more comfortable.
Bo, I'm not getting the Speedo, Bo.
I'm not going to stop trying, all right?
I'm not getting a Speedo, Bo.
Okay.
I'm not getting a Speedo.
We'll see.
It's like I got the lossophobia. I'm afraid of like murky water.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not a fan. But I enjoy the fact that you guys have come down here and it's a lot of his old teammates participate, a lot of the young guys participate. Because like you said, man, it is for a good cause.
Yeah, it's a great cause, and like you know how it goes. Any opportunity you have to see some of your old teammates,
it's buddies, fellowshipping.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's always fellowshipping, man. Because it, we didn't play together, but we played defensive line.
Oh yeah.
Played for the Eagles with family, so it's always good to see family members.
Uh oh, sounds like
it's about to start.
Events are kicking off. Yeah.
Bo, thank you for hopping in.
Thanks
man.
For being here, guys. There appreciate it. It's a great cause, and let's have a fun day.
Bo Allen, former Eagle, with us here on the WIP Midday Show. 215-592-9494. All right. Yes, the festivities are beginning here, Hugh Douglas. He was really trying to sell you on those shorts.
Oh, no, I definitely need to meet the Chubby sponsor because I need that outfit, man. Hey, listen, I need to get a couple of them because that'll probably be my outfit attire for the whole summer.
You're good to go.
At the station.
I don't know about that. I mean, a little short.
No, I'm saying they say they could come in a little long. Bo advertising out here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Well, we appreciate him hopping on. All right, 215-592-9494. Before we get back to your calls in the Phillies, Hugh, I want to throw something out there that I've been thinking about for a while. And this kind of came up a few weeks ago during debate week. It was when I was debating with Elliot. But I heard something yesterday
during the afternoon show. The Sixers a couple nights ago drafted point guard out of Alabama, and I think Filon's going to be a good player, and I think he has the kind of game that could become an NBA starting point guard down the line. Is he going to be good enough at this age right now to be a high-end point guard? Probably not. He's really young. He just got in the league. But I think that day is coming where he looks like he has that kind of ability to maybe lead a team as a starting point guard. But as you said, as soon as they drafted him and said yesterday, they have Tyrese Maxey. They have VJ Edgecombe. Listen to Kevin O'Connor yesterday, who was on the afternoon show. Listen to his breakdown of the draft pick. And then listen at the end how he explains why he's kind of wondering what the future is here in Philadelphia of this backcourt. All right, so at the end there, right, so you have Kevin O'Connor on the afternoon show yesterday giving his take on Filon, what kind of player he is, saying he had him high on his big board. But he said he worries about the fit with Tyrese Maxey long term. And that is a very fair question, right? Like, the Sixers have two starting guards. They just drafted another one. So a couple weeks ago when I was debating with Elliot, my perspective was the Sixers should explore trading Tyrese Maxey. And I feel even stronger about that today. This morning, LaMelo Ball from the Hornets, right?
Yeah.
Got traded to the Timberwolves. LaMelo Ball has not been as good of a player in the NBA as Tyrese Maxey. They came out in the same draft.
Yeah, but
look at their careers. Maxey has been the better player. And especially lately with an All-NBA team.
And then LaMelo he's had some other stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this morning, LaMelo Ball got traded for a good player, so a good NBA player, power forward Naz Reid. Three pick swaps, an unprotected first-round pick, and three second-round picks. It is my belief that Maxey's better, and if the Sixers put Maxey on the market, they could get probably four or five first-round picks for Tyrese Maxey. If this point guard is as good as everyone thinks he could be, the Sixers should absolutely consider trading Tyrese Maxey, because if they have to eventually, they'll get less as time goes on. Maxey will get more expensive. His value will not go up. It'll just go down as he gets more expensive. This is the moment to put him on the trade market to see what is out there. The Sixers aren't winning a title next year, regardless they have Tyrese Maxey or not. Hugh, are you open to the idea of trading away Tyrese Maxey?
You know what? Before I answer that question, Joe, I see where you're going with this. And, you know, you're talking about where they both were drafted and what Tyrese Maxey has turned into thus far. But I always hear that with Tyrese Maxey, he's not going to win you a championship. So basically, you're saying if you decide to trade Tyrese Maxey right now, that you feel that Filon has a better upside or a bigger upside than Maxey.
Well, I mean, I think he has a similar. I guess to me, how do you get to where they are to build a championship team? To me, Maxey is the thing to cash in.
Well,
Filon and Edgecombe are the same age. Mm-hmm. They could grow together, and they're both 21 years old. They've got the next 10 years, 5 to 10 years to grow.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Maxey's the best way to get the other stuff they need to put around these two other guys they've drafted the last 2 years.
I think you're on the right track, Joe, but it's a little bit premature. And I'm gonna say this because you're banking on Filon being half of what Maxey is right now. That's what you're banking on. That's not a guarantee.
No, not a guarantee.
That's not a guarantee.
Nope.
And so you're basically gambling with the future of the Sixers. I would rather let this play out the way that it is. We still haven't reached free agency yet with the Sixers. And I know they can't make a whole lot of moves.
Yeah, right.
I know that, Joe. But they got to make some moves nonetheless. And I want to see what they look like on the court together. Because when you talk about the NBA, I forgot which team it was. They were talking about how many guards was on the floor for, I think it was San Antonio and I think it was all the guards they have there and everything. The NBA game is changing.
Sure.
And it's going to, smaller guys. Now, granted, both of these guys are a little bit smaller. When you talk about the guards for San Antonio,
well,
they're a lot bigger.
Yeah. And that's why Kevin O'Connor, I think, at the end was saying, can they really play together, him and Max?
Yeah, so, but we got to find out. And I think the beautiful thing about where the Sixers are right now, there's no pressure. Just find out.
Yeah.
And we still have Joel Embiid, and we still have
– I mean,
no.
I guess. Well, great.
We still have Joel Embiid.
Great.
And we still have B-Ball Paul. So I would say – let's just see how it plays out.
Well, I think if we're being – that's probably what's going to happen, right? They're going to play this out for a year. But if we had thrown this out a year ago, no one would have been open to trading Tyrese Maxey. No one. When I had the debate week with Elliot, it was pretty overwhelming. People didn't want to do this. Well, they've now drafted another point guard. We had Elliot on yesterday, and I think he's coming around to the idea I debated him on a month ago, which was, this might be their best path. I am open to it. And I just think we're underestimating how much he could bring back.
I mean, Mikal.
No, I hear you. I mean, I hear you.
The Knicks gave up 5-1s for Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is good. He helped the Knicks win the title. But, like, I think a team might give up just as much for Maxi. Desmond Bane got 4-1s. LaMelo Ball got 6 picks and a player. Kyle, if someone's willing to give up that much for Tyrese Maxey, I think the Sixers have to listen to it.
I mean, I'd be open to it for the right return because I'm with you. I'm not like, you know, I'm not an immediate championship window here.
Yeah, I mean, come
looks
on.
Like they're getting a little younger. I would just be wary of, I'll throw this in here. Last two draft picks that we had in the 20s, Maxey, Jared McCain, I think that's tainted our view of what kind of a quality of player we're getting
probably
at that point in the draft.
It's hard to get those players in.
So I haven't seen this kid play at all. Like I don't think it's a slam dunk that he's good, that he's great, like, you know, that he's the replacement for Maxey. So like I don't know, if you're gonna do it and you're gonna get picks and you just want to build and try to add more pieces with VJ and stuff like that, like, yeah, I can be talked into it, but I'm not like 100% certain about this kid.
And I think they're probably not either, right? He was picked at 22, and there's a reason for that. But for the first time, I think the Sixers need to be open to him. You got to kind of canvas the league and see what's happening here. 215-592-9494. We'll throw that in the mix as well as we're live today at the Team 62 Beer Bowl, which has obviously begun here. Here you can hear it behind us.
Yeah, man, and it looks like Jason's having fun. Yep. And like all the contestants are starting to come in, man, and we're going to get this thing started real soon. I see a couple contestants. They really need to put their shirt on, Joe.
Well, why? Hugh, they're going in the water.
They're big fellas. They look like they remember. Y'all probably don't remember this old group back in the day called the Fat Boys, right?
Okay.
They kind of look like the Fat Boys.
But if they're going in the water, why are they going to wear shirts?
I mean, because they need to cover that. I mean, nobody trying to see.
No,
that. Anybody trying to see? That.
I mean, t-shirts in the water for grown-ups?
I mean, some people need to wear t-shirts in the water. And I would say that those two young individuals are contestants for t-shirts.
To me, once you're not a kid anymore, you don't got to do the t-shirt in the water. I mean, I can understand how that sometimes kids are a little self-conscious. But once you're an adult, I mean.
But both of them look like they're about 6 months pregnant.
Yeah, but okay. But obviously they're comfortable with their body.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's that
too. You have to be comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah, you know, there's that.
It's important.
And I shouldn't be fat shaming. I'm wrong for that.
You are.
You are. Yeah, you fat shamed.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's big of you to apologize. We've really made strides here this morning.
Well, I apologize for fat shaming because that's not right.
No, okay. It's not.
But anything else, probably not. I'm probably not apologizing.
I like how you realized what you did within
seconds. Yeah, I fat shamed. I fat shamed. I'm sorry.
We'll move on. 215-592-9494. Back to the Phillies here. And the Tyrese Maxey thing. Is this Philly team starting to feel different to you? And Maxey, are you open at trading him?
No.
Close-minded over here. No, never.
Not right now.
How could we ever trade Tyrese Maxey for 5 first-round picks? That would be insane. Let's go to Jay in West Philly. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Hugh.
Hey, Hugh. Yep.
What's up, Jay? Yep.
Hey, Hugh. Yep. What's going on, man?
How you doing, Jay?
Don't get too close to the water. You know the delegation, the water don't mix.
Yeah, the black folk delegation. We don't too much.
But I saw some delegation members in the water here.
No, not you saw them on a boat. We didn't see them in the water.
Well, okay,
Hugh. Yeah.
Jay's talking to Hugh.
He's
talking to Hugh.
But Jay, you know, I know how to swim. I just don't like to swim.
Hey, Hugh, it don't mix. Us water and boats don't mix.
Yeah, I don't fool with that.
Look. Hey, look. Now, how you feeling about the draft pick, Hugh?
You know what, Jay? I'm not gonna lie. Thyline, when I was like, man, we got 3 guards. We just had 3 guards, yes, and that was my first thought.
Well,
what you got?
What we got? He was a point guard because we ain't had no point guard.
That's
on
what.
The
that's what I. That's what why, I. You know what? That's what I was thinking. He's like a true point guard.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they traded Steph Curry last year. I mean, Jared McCain. That's why they traded him last year.
Because he wasn't a point guard. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and he wasn't a point guard. He a two guard. We already got two guards starting right there. So that's why. So calm down. We'll be all right with that. Maxey be gone in like a year or two.
You think you'll be gone in a year?
Yeah, gone in a year.
Oh, I got you. What's up, Jay? Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he knew you were on the show. Hey,
Yep.
Now, you the only clown, Max Paxton, that's getting excited for them beating the Washington Generals.
Mm-hmm.
Washington Generals.
They beat this team.
He went Globetrotters on you, didn't he?
the team that is averaging more runs than anybody in baseball.
You're getting excited about them beating the Washington Generals. Mm-hmm. And even Kyle had a point there, which is coming once in the blue.
Crazy.
That's how you know
this
it was wrong.
Is worse.
This team is worse than last year.
I don't think
they are. They got more holes to fill, nothing to give up, and you sitting there following behind it, you baseball clown. You really think they're going to win?
Yeah, I do. Wow. Well, I mean, they're going to win in the regular season. I don't know what's going to happen in October.
The Generals, you're getting excited. Yeah. You know why?
You know what? No, because Jay, it is fun to watch them win. It is fun to watch your team win. Why would I not be excited? That was an awesome win last night.
Was it in October?
No, Jay, it's June.
It can't count, Danny.
Well, no, if you love the sport, if you love the team, you're going to be into the games. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, I'm just going to fold my arms until – get out of here. I mean, you're a clown. I'm going to sit here and fold my arms every day when they win games like that because it's not October.
Yeah, that's not fun.
No,
I'm going to sit back. And I'm going to enjoy the games. But, you know, the story has been the same the last three seasons when it comes to the playoffs.
I know, but I think you can see different things within a season. Like, obviously, the team's not markedly different, right? They have most of the same players.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
And so,
but you can kind of see things. Like, I don't remember many games the last, I'll say, two or three years, that they won like that, that they can't. They've had three games this year. The Pittsburgh game on that Friday night. Two nights ago and last night. Three games that I just don't think the 2025 Phillies win. I don't think the 2024 Phillies win. They just – now, you could say make the case, but Hugh, they were better than those years, so they maybe they were up in those games. They don't have those comebacks. That's fine. I just feel like I haven't seen wins like this in years from them.
No, and I get that, Joe, but it's one of those things where, you know, you look at it and they've done this before. Like, they've won games not like this, but they've won them before. But I can't even get it
out
of my mouth.
Out.
Yeah.
You good?
But no, I'm saying, I can't even think about what I'm saying. No, the outcome has been the same over the past 3 years.
Yes,
there it is.
Yes.
I couldn't think about it because I caught a brain fart. But the outcome has been the same the last 3 years. Bats go cold at the worst times.
I'm trying to understand is like then is there nothing they can do until October for you guys?
It's not that, Joe. Because I know that's how it is. Is either you enjoy it now
or October. Yeah, yeah.
It's not, but it's been the same. If we talk about the track record of the Phillies, it's been similar the last 3 years. They get a time they get hot. We talk about June Schwarber and some of the things they do, and they go into the playoffs. And you know what we do as fans, as we get closer to the playoffs and the bats start to cool off, we pretend like we don't see it.
So that's fair, but we're not there yet. Right?
We're not.
And there is a line of demarcation this year. They've been the best team in baseball for 2 months as they fired their manager. That's why it reminds me of 2022, because they did that then. And then we were slow on the uptick because we were like, well, they can't be good. Well, they were. They got to the World Series. This thing to me feels different than in
years past. I'm enjoying it, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the run that they're on. And last night's game was phenomenal.
Yeah. Also, to Jay's Washington Generals point or whatever he's trying to do, like, I recognize the Nationals are not a great team. They have a bad bullpen. That team leads baseball and runs scored. Hugh, if you lead baseball and runs scored and we're in June, you're not bad anymore. Like, they might not be good yet. They might just be
But they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, of course they are. Like, that's – if the Phillies win this game today, they have Sanchez on the mound tonight, and they take 3 out of 4 down there, that's a good series victory.
I'll take that.
I mean, they're not the pushover Nationals. You could see it just with their offense.
And even if they were, my coach would say, if they're bad, beat them because they're bad. That's
well,
you're
but you're the same guy who went on Carolina radio and said
you
the
did.
Eagles
tomato tank, and I was not wrong.
Well, you are.
But wait, I just thought if they're bad, beat them because they're bad.
No, I'm just saying, but I wasn't wrong about them being tomato tank.
Well, no, you were, because you said that after they beat the Rams and the Commanders.
And tomato cans.
They weren't tomato cans.
They kind of were.
Okay.
That was when you became Benedict Arnold Douglas.
I mean, you just lied on the Eagles' name.
What are you talking about?
On Carolina radio.
Oh, I did.
And they ran right with it.
And we found it. And
yeah.
We did not
and
let
we,
that go.
And we hunted you down.
Yeah.
You make it sound so dramatic.
Well, it was.
You were hired from us, Douglas, and we found you.
You thought we couldn't hear you on Carolina radio?
You down.
You thought you had anonymity. You thought you had anonymity down there in Carolina.
None of that. Unbelievable.
No, we got you.
All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, coming up on the other side, Ruben Amaro Jr. gave us, like, you know, we've been debating here, like, what's the Phillies' biggest need? You know, is it the bullpen? Is it the starting rotation? Is it the lineup? And I feel like every day we kind of re-rank these, you know, what do we want, what we think they should go get.
Ruben had his take. Updated take from Ruben Amaro on what they need the most. And you got to hear how he framed the offense, especially if they get going in October.
Oh, baby.
All right, that's coming up. We are live today from Team 62, the Beer Bowl. Everything here benefiting the Eagles Autism Foundation. You can go and donate on our social media pages on at WIP. All right, coming up, all your phone calls in the Phillies. Does this team feel different? Are you now open? And should the Sixers now be open to trading Tyrese Maxey? I am. If this kid they drafted can really play, and they have a starting point guard here, you know, down the line starting point guard, I didn't think cash Maxey in for an incredible haul to really jumpstart what is honestly needed to rebuild around Max, around Edgecombe and Filon. 215-592.
I can't get that out of my head.
I know, me neither. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Oh, worst 430-90s ever. Oh. Ugh. Brutal. Brutal. No. All right. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Did you say play it louder?
No. 430-90s Bare Naked Ladies. Just one of the worst bands of all time.
That's a good song.
I put it in the Smash Mouth category of songs from the 90s I never need to hear again. We're annoying then and annoying now. I understand why it was a hit. I can't do it.
Bare Naked Ladies?
Yeah, Bare Naked Ladies. No ladies in the band.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. That's awesome.
Joining us now from the Kevin O'Connor Show, the great KOC. You can get the Kevin O'Connor Show, all podcast platforms and YouTube as well. What's up, KOC?
How you guys doing today? What's up?
So KOC is a music guy as well. Do you find Bare Naked Ladies intolerable?
I don't care for the song. I mean, okay. If there's like a walk-up song, that wouldn't be my choice.
Okay. So, KOC, Sixers get LeBaron Filon Jr. of Alabama last night. What do you think of, first, just him as a player? I think you had him 12 on your big board, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I had him ranked in the lottery on my big board, my personal board. And I think with Filon, undoubtedly, it's like a steal from a value standpoint when you just consider his immense skill level, 22 points per game last year at Alabama, improved dramatically as a three-point shooter, improved as a scorer. And like, I think I remember there was a game earlier in the year against St. John's and Gonzaga. I think back-to-back games, if I remember correctly, two really good college basketball defenses where he had 29 points and 30 points, superb efficiency, scoring with his left hand at the rim, using pump fakes from the mid-range area to get into the floater, and then from three-point range with step backs and pull-ups. He has immense skill level. There's no doubt about that as both a scorer and as a playmaker, and he's a competitive player. Like, I think, you know, we saw in the NBA Finals with, you know, Jalen Brunson playing hard. He's not the best defender, but he puts in effort. It's just I do worry, Spike, about the fit with Maxey, though. Like, there's just two small guards. I think you can have one guy who's small, but not two.
Is there a comp you have for him? Like, who would you sort of compare him, or who does his game remind you of?
Yeah, like an upside comp. And you know what would be good? An upside comp, and if it goes wrong comp, if you could do that off the top of your head.
I mean, so within my draft guide over at Yahoo Sports, I have in there as like a lower end comp, Dennis Schroeder. And that'd be a successful player to get in the 20s. Schroeder has been a really good journeyman point guard for a long time with his speed and that the toughness he brings to the floor. As a higher end guy, I think, you know, I'd in the guide, Rod Strickland, you know, more of a throwback name.
Wow.
With his, they don't know about Rod Strickland.
They don't. These kids don't know about Rod Strickland.
I mean, you know, but you know, like, he's a really good below the rim finisher at the time, not like an explosive guy, but like kind of a modern style package that he had. So Strickland came to mind. I think like one of the interesting comps, and I don't totally agree with it, but like kind of like a miniature version of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I've seen some people throw out there in the sense that with like the herky jerkiness, the sudden movements, like the quick change of directions, he undoubtedly is an incredible creator off the dribble. And I think the reason why I gave it a B draft grade in the draft guide is because, like with Maxey and Edgecombe, I want to see Edgecombe playing some two. I want to see the Sixers getting bigger. I want to have them have more support behind and around Joel Embiid. And like, I think Filon is like a great pick from a value standpoint, but I do have real concerns about the fit and whether this means the Philly actually cares at all about like winning right now. If this is purely just about value and that's it.
Yeah, so if I could play devil's advocate there, because we, you know, when we talked on the show yesterday, when we talked on the podcast, we hardly, now I loved Filon watching him on YouTube. We hardly talked about guards because we just figured they would take a big or a wing. But then you look, you think about the Sixers situation. Like, they didn't have anybody to handle the ball after Maxey last year. You know, you were giving it to VJ. He's not really equipped for it. Quentin Grimes, not even signed, but not really equipped for it. And then you think about the Knicks. Now, I know everybody's just going to think about the Knicks afterwards, but there were a few guys when Jalen Brunson wasn't on the floor, or you wanted him off ball for a moment, you know, from Alvarado and Deuce McBride. And, you know, so I guess if you're in the Sixers position, you're sort of deficient everywhere. And if you get an opportunity to take a guy who's really, really good, who might be better than whoever the forward is there, maybe you just make the talent decision rather than the fit decision.
I think it's a really good point. I mean, ultimately, like you mentioned Alvarado for the Knicks, we saw in that epic game four comeback the Knicks had against the Spurs. How'd they do it in the fourth quarter? It was putting Alvarado out there. We saw Landry Shamet, another smaller player, he's only 6'3", 6'4", have really important minutes for the Knicks in their finals run. And so I do think there is something to do that. And, you know, for all the crying earlier in the year, and understandably so, for getting rid of Jared McCain, another smaller guy.
Yes.
Like, who, you know, was an important part of the rotation with his ball handling and creation for Philly. And then for Oklahoma City, he was pivotal in their run to the Western Conference Finals. So I do think there's, like, from a, I don't know, like from a team building philosophy standpoint, it is, I think, worth thinking about how much is it really a deficiency if you have two smaller guys? Like, are we past the days in which, like, you remember Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, those two guys, smaller guards for the Blazers? It mattered with them during that era, and it also mattered because both of those guys were horrific defenders. Maxey is a really good defensive player. He hustles, he plays hard, he's strong, and Filon at least puts in effort. And so maybe it doesn't actually matter your size in the backcourt as long as you're putting in great effort, because you can be the best defender in the world and still, like, there's nothing you can do against the best offensive players.
Kevin O'Connor from Yahoo Sports and the Kevin O'Connor Show joining us now to talk about LeBaron Filon Jr., the Sixers pick out of Alabama. I was also sort of thinking, you know, there is irony in trading away a small guard to draft than a small guard. Now, different leadership, of course. But what I came to, and I saw that, and it was frustrating for me for a moment, but I was pissed off that they got rid of Jared McCain because I thought they could use Jared McCain. So I can't, on one side, be upset that they got rid of the small guard and then be upset. I could say, hey, that's ironic, or that's strange that that would happen. But at the end of the day, I just want people who are good at basketball. And I also think the Sixers were deficient in sort of like creation and isolation. It really was like Paul George is the only real ISO guy on the team. It's not really Maxey. So he seems like an exciting player. Was there anyone that was picked below him in the first round last night that you would have said, hey, that probably would have made more sense for the Sixers?
I mean, in all of my mocks, pretty much, for 22 with Philadelphia, I tended to have a big there. Mm-hmm. Henry Vassar from North Carolina, still on the board right now. I would have liked there for Philadelphia. Terrace Reed would have been intriguing. Chris Sinak, who ended up going 27th to Boston. I was just thinking a big for the Celtics. I think even Sergio Della Reyes, if you want to talk about wings, like you said earlier, Spike, you guys were thinking about wings, forwards, bigs.
Yeah.
Like Sergio Della Reyes, I'm really high on him. I had him 20th on my board. So I think somebody like that would have made sense for Philadelphia. But ultimately, like, I mean, Filon was the highest rated player I had on my board. So I think everything you're talking about when it comes to, there's deficiencies everywhere for Philadelphia. Maybe you just take the best player available and you see how it works out. And maybe they have this amazing dynamic backcourt and you fill in the blanks elsewhere down the line. Because this team, maybe they acknowledge that they're not going to be a championship team next year or the year after that. And it's just about getting a good player, and it's as simple as that. And so I respect it from Philadelphia's standpoint. And I do think, you know, the irony aspect, Spike, that you hit on, like, when it comes to trading away McCain and then drafting a guard here, another small guard, I do think with Filon, there is a chance, you know, Daryl Morey's we got four picks thing.
Yes.
Like he might turn out to be a good take if Filon turns into the player that a lot of people think he could be.
Oh, if he's great, it works out. You know, I still do not, and I would tell Daryl this to his face, I still do not agree with the trade. There was always a chance that you could pick somebody at 22 that works out great. And I think Ike and I were talking earlier, KOC, about the Maxey thing. I think part of the next couple of years, because you're not winning a championship in the next couple of years, is making Maxey's life good. And I think having a guy who is an effort guy, is a guy that he'll want to be around, and also a guy that can make his life easier by not having to play 43 minutes a game, is you really need, because Maxey is a prime now, you really have to get through the next 2 years without him thinking to himself, I'm sick of the weight of this entire organization with no chance to win a championship. And I think a guard can actually help with that as much as a big could.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I mean, having, so it's not on all, on his shoulders to have to create everything.
Yep. Go ahead, Ike. Well, I was going to ask you about Giannis, but there you go.
Great minds right. think alike. I was going to ask him the same thing.
KOC, what'd you think of the Giannis trade?
I mean, I think from the Bucks standpoint, calculated risk to take the pieces, the parts, instead of the loan prize and Jaylen Brown. Personally, I would have taken the Jaylen Brown package, but you know, we don't exactly know how much more Milwaukee was demanding from Boston. The thing that, like, if I were a Bucks fan, the thing that would really infuriate me is like the stuff I'm hearing about what Jimmy Haslam, the owner of the Bucks, prioritized in this. I've reported on my podcast that Haslam wanted the Heat deal over the Celtics deal because he was worried a year from now Jaylen Brown would want out, after dealing with Myles Garrett wanting out of the Cleveland Browns, after dealing with the Giannis Antetokounmpo saga. So he had this fear of it happening again. But also I had heard that he didn't want to help Boston again because they traded Drew Holiday to the Celtics. Boston then won a finals. He didn't want to trade Giannis to Boston and then have them go win another finals. To me, that is thinking about the competition instead of just thinking about yourself and getting the best return. And if they were able to get multiple firsts, a young player, and Jaylen Brown, who just finished sixth in MVP voting, instead of just this poo-poo platter from the Miami Heat, I think that would have been a better return. That said, we don't know every little detail from what Boston was actually offering.
I like the poo-poo platter thing. That was pretty good.
Now, Ike is not a Chinese food guy. It doesn't mean a bad platter. It means a bunch of different things. So yes. Ike famously does not like Chinese food. A poo-poo platter is like an appetizer where you get like ribs and egg rolls, and okay. It doesn't mean a poop platter.
Well, you don't like the Americanized Chinese food, but how about like real Chinese food?
I probably wouldn't like that even more.
Not up Ike's alley.
I do like egg rolls though. That's about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
KOC, last thing. Now, you mentioned the Celtics. We always want to see the Celtics in chaos. Unfortunately, they've won a lot of games over the last several years. Now, Jaylen Brown doesn't get traded. Do you think they should trade Jaylen Brown, or do you think they would have to trade Jaylen Brown? What happens with the Celtics now?
I think they should trade Jaylen Brown to answer the first part there. I mean, I don't know which teams exactly are interested. There's a lot of, you know, mixed rumblings out there. I do think anything involving Jaylen Brown and, you know, another team is going to be really quiet compared to the Giannis stuff. Everything was just leaking out of Milwaukee. They're just trying to drive up the price. It's going to be quiet with Jaylen Brown. It's just going to be a report out of nowhere once that inevitably happens. But I do think for the Celtics, you tried to trade him a decade ago pretty much to try to go get Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi, the Spurs wanted the DeMar DeRozan deal. You've tried to trade him for Kevin Durant and a bunch of guys over the years. And then this one, after he's sixth in MVP voting, drags the team to a second seed. I'd imagine for Jaylen Brown, he feels more slighted than ever. This is somebody who, you know, talks about proving people wrong and all that. Even the GM, Brad Stevens, his former head coach as well from when he was a rookie, even after this year, he still doubted you and tried to trade you for Giannis. So I'd imagine Jaylen Brown's not happy. Maybe the Boston Celtics try to fix it, but I think other teams are going to be trying to circle that situation and try to get Jaylen from Boston. And I think we'll probably see the Celtics take a step back next year unless they get some awesome return that's going to be unexpected.
All right, KOC. Well, the very best NBA, like a national basketball podcast, is Kevin O'Connor, the Kevin O'Connor Show, Yahoo Sports. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts and YouTube as well. KOC, and if, you know, there's draft, the second round is tonight, so KOC will have the full coverage of that. He's got his big board and his draft coverage over at Yahoo Sports. So, KOC, thank you as always.
Appreciate it, brother.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, KOC. One thing I want KOC to do next time we have him is KOC is a big, self-driving car guy. He's got the Tesla.
Ah, yeah.
And he does videos for social media while the car is driving, while he's not driving the car.
Yeah.
Pretty efficient.
I want him to do the hit while he's driving around in the Tesla. Car. Yes. Yeah.
Was that us? Or was that with Marks?
That was with Marks.
We did the Waymo. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Didn't like it.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it was a little nerve-wracking.
Well, it was like when I started merging, I was like, hold on.
You know what's more nerve-wracking to me? The Uber driver that speeds to every stop sign and watching YouTube and
I would like the self-driving car if everyone was self-driving.
Yes.
You're right. It is... When you're mixed with other people that's actually driving, because we have them here, don't we?
Waymos? I think they are here. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you use them at? In this downtown?
Well, I don't think they can go on the highway yet.
Right.
I don't think they're allowed to go on the highway yet. Yeah. So, yeah, it would be in town.
Little city thing.
When I was in L.A., I got in KOC's Tesla, and it was like, hey, look. And he's driving it.
He's not driving it.
He's so impressed by it. And I'm like, but KOC, you're sitting in the driver's seat.
You may as well drive it.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me at all. And I don't know what I would be doing if I'm sitting in the driver's seat without driving, because I'd be too paranoid.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I'd want to watch.
Yeah, I'm still watching it as if I'm driving.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. What am I doing? I kind of like driving, if I'm in the car. Yeah.
Get up on you.
Well, Ike's an absurdly aggressive driver.
He is an aggressive driver.
Now, were you always this way, or when you crossed the line in New Jersey, is that when your aggressiveness really stepped up?
I think that's where it happened. I had to learn how to drive in New Jersey.
Well, you could see Ike's aggressiveness in his posture, because he is on the steering wheel. He's looking forward.
Yeah, there's no leaning back.
No, absolutely not. Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're looking to up your watch game, discover rare and sought-after pre-owned Swiss watches only at Mark's Mount Laurel showroom. What?
You describe me like I'm 80 years old.
No.
Sitting up on the steering wheel.
No, not like that. It's like you're alert.
Yeah, you're right.
One hand on the wheel and just... Just monitoring the situation.
That's how Seltzer drives, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's got a little Mini Coupe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's probably dipping and diving in and out of traffic.
Yeah. In the city, too. You might start throwing up.
I wouldn't do that in the city.
He's lived in the city his entire life. It's the only way he knows how to drive.
I can't drive like that in the city. If you put me on the expressway, that's different.
The only time I ever drove like that was my 3 years when I would drive to and from New York.
Yeah.
If you are not.
Well, and in Clearwater.
Well, yes, a little bit.
That was aggressive in Clearwater.
Well, I was trying to impress you guys.
That was aggressive. We were both like, hold on.
Easy, fella.
These
are retired people while crossing the road.
Well, mostly it's because I was trying to get to the ballpark. I don't like being late. I was a little nervous about being late. Yeah. But in New York, if you're not a psychopath, you ain't getting anywhere. Like, you're not getting in the Holland Tunnel.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, you're not getting there being Mr. Courtesy Driver and all of that, man.
No, man. There was a right-hand turn that I'll never forget this. So to get into the Holland Tunnel, I have to make a right.
Yeah.
You're only allowed to make a right from the right lane. But every day, people would make a right from both lanes. Every day, both lanes. It was the only way to make it happen. So I'm making a right from the center left lane or whatever, like everyone does. Cop starts yelling at me. And I rolled down my window, and I'm like, there's no other way! And he's like, you gotta go straight! And I was like, I'm going right! And he goes, you gotta go straight! And I said, there's no other way! And I thought to myself, what is he gonna leave?
Gonna leave his post and run you down?
And I did not want to be disrespectful, but I also didn't want to have to go through this loop again. I made the right.
Yeah, there was no way you were going back around again.
I made the right, yeah. And I made the right. I looked in my rear view because I was thinking, he is going to yank me, he has every right to yank me out of this car. I had to do it. Yeah. Jack, what is coming up in the top five of five?
Man. More situations we're monitoring here at WIP.
Holy moly.
Yeah, what's going on around here?
You're monitoring a lot of situations
we're
here.
We're working some callers in this one today.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's more interesting.
Yeah.
You've monitored us all week.
There's only, it's actually just Ike is the only.
Of course.
Also, I think I might have talked KOC from his B into an A.
Oh, I could tell.
Yeah.
He actually sounded defeated by the end of the phone call. like, all right, get to that.
Go, yeah.
Well, because KOC gave out 24 A's and his 12 players a B because of the guards.
Yeah, come on. We don't have anybody here.
Yeah, his team stinks.
Yes. Come on, KOC. And I was so happy they picked the guy that I wanted them to pick. I've never been more happy. Mike's never been more upset. Has never been more upset. So upset at the beginning of last podcast. He will never admit it. It's because they picked the guy that I wanted. Drives him crazy. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
On the biggest stage in the world, FanDuel is changing the game. Because sometimes your player gets subbed off and your bet goes with them. Not anymore. With FanDuel Super Sub, if your player is subbed out, your bet stays in. That's right. If your player leaves the match, your bet continues on with the substitute. So you're still in it up until the final whistle. Visit FanDuel.com/local to get started now and let there be goals this summer on FanDuel. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Breaking ball, hit in the air, left field, deep, going back, and gone over the Phillies' bullpen, and Derek Hill with a two-run home run, and the hits keep coming off the Nats' bullpen. The second homer of the inning for the Phillies, it's a five-run ninth inning, and they lead it 10-5.
Five runs in the ninth last night, 15 runs in the ninth in the last three games. What a wild week for the Phillies. We'll keep talking about it. Your phone call is coming up, 215-592-9494. But Hugh, how about this? We get to have a special guest in studio. We don't usually have in-studio guests. It's always fun we do. And joining us right now, former Phillies player, former Phillies hitting coach, Milt Thompson with us. Milt, how are you?
Milt. I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Yeah. I'm glad you're here, Milt. Because after we get through this interview, I have a dream that I want to bounce off of you.
All right.
And I want to talk to you about it because you probably are definitely the person that could probably help me make this happen.
All right. Dream maker here. And you're also here with us, not just talk some Phillies, but talk about what's coming up here, which is really cool. So All-Star Game in Philadelphia this year. We're so excited for all the different events, including the HBCU Classic, right? Friday before the All-Star Game, you can get tickets at the Phillies Ticket Office. So tell us about it. I know you were involved with it last year for the first time, right? Down in Atlanta and now here in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's an unbelievable experience. You have to go see it, you know, as the game's going along. The African-American culture with step shows and stuff, the drum lines. Oh, it's amazing. Plus, you get a chance to see some athletes who really don't get a chance to be on, you know, national TV like that. You know, we're going to have 25 players on each squad. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So, Milt, I'm kind of curious because, you know, coming from HBCU, there are not a lot of HBCUs that have baseball teams. So what teams are going to be represented? What schools, I should say?
There's quite a few schools that are going to be represented now. Howard doesn't have a baseball team. Mm-hmm. We used to have one. We don't have one. But it's funny how, you know, Sarge Matthews' son, Dale, does a great job of scouting and watching these kids and picking the talent every single year. So you're definitely going to see a lot of kids who have a lot of talent, just don't know them. You don't hear about them a lot. I remember last year we had one kid, man. He was special, man. Mm-hmm. He threw like 94, and he played the outfield both. And you know he hit a double to help us win the game, and then he closed it out. You know,
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty exciting.
So this feels like an event that's growing here. You said last year in Atlanta, but this year Ken Griffey Jr. is involved with it, and I saw J. Rowe's going to manage one of the teams. Ricky Weeks managing another one of the teams.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be the bench coach on Jimmy Rollins' team.
That's fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Cool way to get more people interested in watching because it's not just the kids, but it's also you see those old former MLB players and stars like Jimmy and Ricky Weeks was a really good player. You know, in the dugout there.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, like I said, for us to mingle with those kids and talk to them and you know, talk about the experience of playing in the big leagues.
Yeah.
That's one thing in itself, you know, understanding what it takes to be a major leaguer.
Sure. And I'm sure for you personally, I mean, the baseball, you know, fan in you, the baseball player in you, but also for you and Hugh to see an HBCU classic at Citizens Bank Park, that's like, if you had told me 10 years ago, what would they do on the Friday night before the All-Star game? I wouldn't have thought that. That's a really cool idea to bring baseball here to Philadelphia through that.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. does an amazing job. You know, he kind of sponsors all these kids and stuff. So it's going to be a great event. I'm telling you, you should come see it.
Oh, definitely going to come see it. I'm going to bring my son too, because for me, and we were kind of talking about this in the break, is that, you know, there's a lot of African Americans that play. There's a lot of Africans that play, but not from here. Americans, African Americans, I should say. Yeah. You know, you have the Dominican players and everything, yeah. and since my son's been playing, been trying to get him more interested in baseball. But Bill, I'm kind of curious, why do you feel like a lot of kids nowadays over here in the States really don't, especially black kids, why don't they play baseball anymore?
It's because it's too expensive. You know, we used to have rec leagues when I was growing up, and now it's, you know, it's travel ball.
Right.
And, you know, it's just too expensive. A bat for a young kid costs like $300-$400.
No, my son plays Little League. I don't know, to cut you off, but we went to before the season to get his bat. And like, I played when I was a kid, and I was $100 for a bat, maybe 80. They were like $400. And I was like, we don't need this bat. But that's all of them. They're all so expensive.
Yeah, and then you go for a weekend. So that's two nights.
On the road.
Yeah, on the road.
In the hotel room.
In the hotel room. All this stuff adds up, you know. So it's, you know, we kind of phased out of it. But one thing about Major League Baseball, we got the RBI leagues, which is rejuvenizing baseball in the inner city. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to get them going, but you know, it takes a lot. You know,
sure.
Thank God the Major League Baseball is sponsoring these teams.
Well, and I think, you know, just like I'm sure when you played and you were a kid, like when you're a kid or like Hugh's son, right? Like you see a role model on the field, right? Phillies have Justin Crawford now. So, I mean, who knows? That could create more fans in the city and all that. But it's cool. So 7 o'clock on Friday night, July 10th, that will be where this when this game will start. Tickets available, Phillies ticket office. And the game will be nationally televised on MLB Network. That's also a fun thing. You could see this on TV too.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a great experience, you know. These guys probably have never been on TV in their lives,
right,
as far as going out there competing. So it's one good thing. You know, it's good they have a couple guys like us around. Just tell them, like, just relax and play. You know, don't get all excited because you might be getting on TV for the first time.
Were you ever on TV when you played college football?
You know what? We played in it was called the Circle City Classic.
Okay.
Well, BET. So it was on TV, but,
oh, but
it's
televised.
BET. Yeah, it's BET. But that was a big deal for us back in the day. And, it is something different, man. When you talk about coming from a school that doesn't get a whole lot of exposure, to be out there on a platform where everybody can get a chance to see you play. And I got to be honest, that's probably what propelled me or catapulted me to being able to go to the Hula Bowl and being able to be drafted, because people got a chance to see you actually play.
Well, that's the other thing, Hugh and Milt, for these kids, like, this is a showcase for them, right? It's not just, it's a great moment. They'll be able to say forever they got to play at Citizens Bank Park, but Milt, I'm sure a few of them probably are good enough to, maybe more than that, good enough to be drafted. So this is a showcase in front of all of baseball.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, everything is opportunity. when you look at it, Hugh will tell you the football thing and the baseball thing, you know, you need a break. You need a break to get noticed and maybe get drafted.
Yep.
And then you need a break to get to the big leagues. So, you know, it's a grind. It took me 6 years to get to the big leagues once I signed.
You know what, Mel, funny that you're speaking about that. Like, I had a moment when it was early in the year. We were playing in a softball tournament. And, you know, Jalen Hurts was pitching. And I got struck out.
You know what? Like, I got a video. I'm gonna show Milt.
Well, show
you tell the story. I'll show Milt the video.
You gotta show Milt.
We gotta show Milt the video.
I'm gonna back you up, Hugh. Don't worry about it. We had a company softball game at the Phillies. You know, employees, and I struck out. I can't hit a slow pitch softball.
This was bad. This was bad.
It's horrendous.
So that's me. As Milt looks at it, that was me trying to hit right. But that's not the bad part. I almost broke my ankle trying to hit that baseball, right? Because something, you know, it was Jalen, and, you know, he's a quarterback, and, you know, I started thinking about back in the day when I was playing and trying to, you know, crush the quarterback, and I almost broke my ankle. But then I had this wild idea that if I get the proper training right now, right, at 50 years old, that I could potentially be a DH. in the major leagues.
I can fix you. You get to come
see?
To me.
See, you
I,
saw that. So you can fix that swing.
I can fix that.
Oh
yes,
wow!
I can.
See, okay.
I can fix that.
All
see,
right. Because well, I wanted to see it, so we get a full honest response.
As I broke it down and I started talking to, because then you know my son was there, Harper was there. Now he's trying to coach me. He's like, Dad, you got to take the bat off your shoulder. I was like, thanks for telling me after the fact. You know what I mean? Like it was all of that, and he was like, well, you. And then I asked Ryan, and Ryan was like, you're using too much body. He was like, he was telling me stuff like that. So yeah, I think that. If I get the proper training, probably not a DH, but I will be able to make contact.
We know what we're going to do now.
What's that?
We do fantasy camp every year in January.
I like this.
We're going to bring you down.
Okay.
I like
okay.
this.
We're going to bring you down and get you started out there and let you know how this is supposed to happen. You
yeah, because I keep telling them, but see, Joe right here, he's being a Debbie Downer, and Kyle is co-signing. Every time I talk about they trying to be dream snatchers and stuff.
It was
man.
Underhand.
Well, the whole thing is you have to slow down. It doesn't make sense. Okay, this guy's throwing 95 miles an hour to me, and you got to slow down.
Mm.
Yes, you have to slow your body down and let your natural ability hit the ball instead of trying to hit the ball. And in watching this video, you were swinging before he even let the ball go. His hands was like right here. You ready to swing?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just like slowing down and seeing the ball and just letting it come.
See, Joe, all I got to do is slow it down.
Well, now that we have a professional hitting coach in here, I'll buy what he's saying.
I mean, but you know, your words were way kinder than the big pieces were. He was like, damn. He was like, are you okay? Ryan was like, dude, what are you doing? And I was like, what happened? And I'm like, hey, man, I heard the crowd a little bit, and I just got, you know, I got a little bit ahead of myself. But I feel better now. I feel like I got an opportunity. I got a shot at this.
I do love the fantasy camp idea. Now, I mean, Joe DeCamera used to go to fantasy. Well, if DeCamera can play in fantasy
I got
camp.
Him, yeah, I got him off, too. But I think he was supposed to get, I think, 3 hits, and he had 2, and then he pulled a muscle, so
right.
he couldn't play.
Yeah. Well, Joe gets hurt a lot. I mean, that's
yeah, he's not the most sturdy individual. He ain't that sturdy.
Yeah, I would think if DeCamera can hit in fantasy camp. That I like that idea. That,
yeah.
The content we can great. See,
look at me thinking about
the content
show.
We can get out of Hugh at fantasy camp. It's so good. It is so good. So, Milt, while we have you, let's talk about this Phils team.
Oh, man.
What incredible. A week, Milt. Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to tell you, man, everybody needs to know that with 2 outs, the game is not over.
Mm.
And it was amazing these last couple of games, especially to score 8 runs
yeah.
when you had 2 outs and 2 strikes on the hitter.
It's so hard to do that. Like the game is basically over. Like at that point, most of the time, right? Just percentage wise, and for them to do it 3 straight nights, it feels like this team has a little thing to them where they're never out of. They had the game in Pittsburgh in May where they were down 5-0, came back, and then 3 straight nights. What does that say about a team when they can do that?
It just lets you know that there's no quit, and that's the key part. I mean, I looked the other day when Harper was talking to Marsh because he was struggling early in that game, and he just took him off to the side and say, hey, man, just relax and be who you've been all year. And boom, home run. So it's important that, you know, these guys gel. And just when you win games like that, man, that helps. That brings all kinds of confidence in the world because we got great pitching.
Great pitching.
we got great pitching. And, you know, if we just score a couple runs, we're good, you know.
Milt, what have you noticed over the years with Kyle Schwarber? I mean, what a story. I mean, he was a first-round pick, so people thought he'd be good, and he was a good Cub. But then his career fell down, right? He got DFA'd. He was a free agent. And then he's come here, and we're talking about the most home runs. But by the time the season ends, he'll have more home runs in his first 5 years with a team than any player in the history of baseball. It just feels like he's getting better as he gets older.
Well, the thing about it is he's a hard worker. You got to understand that, you know, when you get put down, like, you know, DFA and stuff, you got to dig deep down inside and say, you know what? I'm going to prove these people wrong. And that's what he did. He went out and he worked hard. And I'm going to tell you, man, he gets locked in. He'll hit like 6 in the 6 games. 6.
Yep.
You know, that's how locked in he is. So hopefully he stays locked in for a long time.
What do you think about the rise here of Brandon Marsh? Brandon Marsh was first round pick, had talent. Phillies traded for him, but we never saw anything like it's been the last year. I mean, he looks like he's turned into an all-star player versus just, you know, a solid player.
Well, you got to understand something. I've had plenty of talks with this young man, and you got to understand the game of baseball is funny how they said, you know, he can't hit left-handers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I told him to hang in there, man, and you're going to get your opportunities, and you're going to be fine. It's funny. I got labeled I couldn't hit left-handers, and I got traded to St. Louis, and I hit 290 that year off of left-handers. Just by seeing them every day. When you're an everyday player, you get into a groove. And when you're in a groove and you're just confident, that's the way it is. But when you keep getting days off and you can't, you know, get locked in, it's right. hard. It's
it
hard.
Repetitions.
Yes, no doubt about
well,
it.
Well, and I feel like a little bit now, and I know he's young and it's his first year, but Justin Crawford's going through that a little bit where he's got ability, but now they're kind of sitting him more against lefties. What do you think of him? Because he's a guy that hit 300 at every level of the minors, mm-hmm. But people said hits too many ground balls, that's going to kind of hurt him in the major leagues. Where do you come down on that as we watch Justin try to find his way here?
Well, we have a guy in that by the name of Mike Schmidt. I hit in the same hitting group with him for 3 years. He didn't hit one home run in batting practice.
Mm.
He swung down, created that backspin for the ball to take off like an airplane.
Mm.
Sure, certainly worked out for him for a long time. Plenty of home runs in the real games, yeah.
You know, the game, I really became a really good – I was good, but I became a really good hitter after about 3 or 4 years in the big leagues because now you're facing these guys multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I did is I kept a book on every pitcher I faced my entire career. You know, what pitches he throws, time to the plate, all those things. And as I got more at-bats against him, I got comfortable, very comfortable. And for me, I was a zone hitter. I want the ball a middle of the way.
Mm.
And you get three strikes. I keep telling these guys all the time, you get three strikes. So I'm looking middle of the way. If you threw two in here, you can have them. Then I got two strikes. I'll choke up and do whatever I need to do to defend myself. But if you had that first pitch was there, I'm attacking it.
Yeah.
So it's that zone I'm looking for to hit a ball. Now, when I became a coach, I made it real simple. And there's 9 quadrants in the strike zone. I give the paper to the hitter. Where do you like to hit the ball? You know? You tell me. So you say you're a down and in hitter. Why are you swinging the first pitch up and away?
That's not your zone, right?
That's exactly right. So once guys learn where their strength is, you hunt your strength.
Mm.
And that's something that you learn over time. You find out what works for you, and you stick to it.
I'm curious, for someone who played for so long, was a good hitter in the major leagues, then became a hitting coach, and has seen so many eras of it, why do you think it's seemingly so hard to hit these days? Batting average has never been lower. And these are talented players, but their batting averages are in the 220s, 230s, and it's normal. Is pitching that good now, or is it the approach of the hitters?
No, pitching is not that good. Everybody's trying to hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to knock it out of the park instead of, you know, putting the ball in play. And, you know, I don't want a ton of information from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the job getting experience, writing down what I need to do, what I'm focused on, what's going to make me successful. And that's the whole key, you know. If I would have tried to hit home runs like Smitty, I'd have been out of the major leagues
right.
in about a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what my role was. My role was to get on base. So if I get a single, it's a double because I'm still second. I'm top of the lineup
yep.
guy. You know, I knew what I'm supposed to do. I give you a funny lesson. I came here, and I batted second. It was Juan Samuel, myself, Von Hayes, and Smitty. Okay? And I'm at second base, and Smitty's up. And you know, you're a base stealing guy and you're like moving a little bit. He's like, time out. He said, be still, I got you.
He didn't want the distraction.
He didn't want to be moving around making a distraction.
Yeah, yeah. That is funny. You hear that. Certain hitters don't like that kind of thing.
No.
Yeah. What do you think about Trey Turner, where he's at right now? Because Trey, it's been an interesting ride his 4 years here. Last year he won a batting title. He was really good. The other years has been he gets hot at times, but no, he can get ice cold, and it's like, man, what happened to that guy that was at one point a batting title kind of guy every year? What do you think when you watch Trey?
Well, what happened was he won the batting title last year, and then the first thing he said in spring training is, well, I'm going to try to get out front more and hit more home runs.
Yeah.
If it's not broke, why are you trying to fix it?
Trying to fit, yeah.
You know?
So you think it's approach? And
it's
kinda,
approach.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Hitting is always approach.
Mm.
You know, guys who are successful have the right – you know, right game plan. Like, I had a game plan when I went up to the plate, and I just wanted to execute it. Knowing that baseball, you know, everybody hates for me to say this, but baseball's a game of failure. The best at my level were only successful 3 out of 10 times. You know, you're going to make outs in this game, a ton of outs. But what do you do? Do you learn from it? You know, I tell kids all the time, you know, you don't put your head down when you get out. That's part of the game. You're gonna make outs. Or if you hit a line drive and somebody catches it, why you go back to the bench crying?
Yeah, you hit it hard, right?
That's exactly right. You got to understand how this game it works. And once you understand how the game works and you just trust yourself, My dad had three words for me. Don't think. Don't try. Trust yourself.
Mm-hmm. I like that. That's good advice. Yeah. So is that the advice for Hugh when he's in the?
I'm sitting here soaking it up.
I got you, Hugh. Don't let him take you down, Hugh. I got you.
I'm starting to believe a little more in Hugh because Milt Thompson does. I mean, Ryan Howard basically said you got no shot.
No, Ryan was like, "What's wrong with you?" Yeah, it was bad.
No, we got to get you down to fantasy camp. All right,
no, that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. The HBCU Swingman Classic. It is Friday, July 10th, right here in Philadelphia. Tickets at the Phillies ticket office. Milt, thank you so much for hopping in. This has been fun. Thank you for hopping in.
I got Hugh. Don't worry about it.
Okay. It's going to be, if he hits home runs, it's awesome for the show. If he strikes out, it's all. I'm good either way.
We're winning either way.
It's great.
It's going to look better than this.
It can't look worse. Milt, thank you so much for hopping in today.
You're welcome, guys.
There he goes. Milt Thompson, former Phillies hitting coach with us here on the Midday Show. 215-592-9494. Let's grab Terrence in Springfield up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Terrence.
There we go. Here's Joe Kyle. What's up, man?
Hey, Terrence. What's up?
All right, man. Let me try. I remember what I was going to say. Okay. I want to talk on, a little bit on the Phillies on Hurts, too. By him falling 17, I feel like that's the right place for Jalen Hurts. Coming off the year he had last year, it wasn't consistent. And I think a lot of people's problem with Jalen Hurts is, it's that in these games, that these close games, these tight defensive games, I feel like people feel like he could do more to have a bigger impact on the game, and I feel like that's the gripe that they have with Jalen Hurts is he can use his legs more, he can hit these throws that he's missing, that he's overthrowing, he can do a little bit more to be a little bit more impressive in people's eyes, and I feel like that's why he's at number 17 on that list.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it was based on just last year.
He had a down year.
And he didn't play.
He didn't play well last year. That's it. I think a lot. My fault, Terry, but I'm not cutting you off. But I think that a lot of times people feel like criticism of Jalen Hurts is diminishing what he's accomplished. That's not what it is. Like I look at it more so of Jalen has accomplished so much. It's expected of him to do well, and when he doesn't, it's like, wow, he didn't do well, and you know we know it's in him, like, because that's how I look at it. He didn't play well last year. We know it's in him, and he just has to have a bounce back year.
And that's the thing, we know it's in him. So that's the thing with me. I know that Jalen Hurts can do more, and I want to see that out of him this year. And this year it will be more impressive, being though he don't have AJ Brown. To me, if he comes out and have a dominant year, have a great year, that would put Hurts right back on the mat with his other quarterback because he don't have that weapon in A.J. Brown this year.
Oh, I agree. No, Terrence, you're right. If Jalen has a great season, it's a big feather in his cap because this is a year that
– it's a told-you-so season. Yep. It's an in-your-face season.
Yeah, and it'd be the first time we could ever say he had a great year without that great receiver, right? Because all his best years have been obviously with A.J. So it would clearly be a feather in his cap, Terrence. There's no question about that. All right, Terrence, you ready for a little matchup here? Hugh Douglas against someone ahead of him on Herb's list?
Let's go.
Let's do it. All right. So Hugh Douglas came in number 66 on the Herb and Northeast Phillies list of best athletes Philadelphia since 2000. Better Philadelphia athlete in this century, Hugh Douglas or Devontae Smith?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Oh,
I know. I'm giving it to
you. That's a tough one, man.
Yeah, that's Devontae. I'll help you out. That's Devontae.
Poor Terrence. It's close, but you had a long – Devontae still got more to prove.
Right.
But I would say – It's neck and neck. I will give Devontae a slight edge, but that's neck and neck, man.
Okay.
Devontae, the most decorated
– good call,
Terrence. The most decorated receiver in the history of the NFL as far as college and pros concerned, like winning the Super Bowl, being the Heisman Trophy winner. That's not close.
Could change, but I'm just trying to put it in perspective. You had an all-pro.
And he dresses way better than me.
I mean, come on.
Oh, did you see Milt, his wedding this weekend looked like a movie. He got married this weekend. It looked like something out of the scene of – I don't know, some movie, but it was phenomenal.
You know, Hugh.
Yes.
You know who else won the Heisman and not only a Super Bowl, but a Super Bowl MVP as a wide receiver?
Who?
Can you name him? Desmond Howard.
Oh, I forgot about Desmond Howard. But he wasn't as dynamic.
Kick returner.
He wasn't as dynamic. He's decorated, but not Schmitty.
I'm just saying.
A lot of love for Desmond Howard. But you talk about, and he had a hell of a run with Green Bay, right? The one with Green
Bay. Yes, the kick return.
Yeah,
kick return touchdown.
Nah,
Schmitty.
I'm
just saying, Schmitty, you have an all pro in this span. Devontae does not have an all pro yet.
Not yet. But I give it to Schmitty because, you know, the ring kind of trumps everything. That Super Bowl
all
ring.
Pro is
Super Bowl MVP.
You know,
as we know.
With all due respect, Mel, you know, that Super Bowl, that World Series, that changes the conversation immediately.
Yeah, it does. All right, 215-592-9494. Congratulations to Dave in Spring City, who is our winner of Fanatics Fancast Fridays in the Mix for $100. We once again thank Mel Thompson for hanging out with us. Go get your tickets to the HBCU Swing Man Classic. All right, coming up on the other side, your phone calls, you people. Plus, we got to check in with a soon-to-be commander, maybe. Some strange activity going on from a guy that might end up in this division. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.